Our next guest is an internationally known improv and stand-up comedy star who's most famous for his work on the television show Whose Line Is It Anyway, both the American and British version. But that's just one or two in a long list of eclectic roles he's had in shows and movies, including Ugly Betty, the children's program Bob the Builder, and Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. Greg Proops, thank you for joining us.
Hello, baby. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Were you on the red carpet for this White House correspondence dinner, Greg?
Sadly, no. It's something I've pined to be invited to because there's really nothing funner than watching the powers that be throw down comedically. My friends, Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood, conducted the MC Rove thing last year.
That's right. Yeah. Were they happy with how it went?
Oh, golly, I guess they were. I think they were just excited to go to the White House. Colin's Canadian, so he can absolve himself of all responsibility. Canada gives you that abrogation clause when you become a citizen, I think.
Have you ever been invited to the White House?
To the White House? Yeah. No. I was invited to the International House of Pancakes over here on Wilshire once.
Just once, though.
It was a summit, yeah. Like there was Belgians, they had a mm-hmm. waffle thing, and there was French people with their toast and whatnot. And so, I've never. I do a lot more with the ACLU. I'm doing the ACLU membership conference in July, I think.
Really, truly?
Really, truly.
Do you host it and say funny things about people's civil liberties?
I do, and the last time I did it, they were giving money to one of their big donors they were giving a party for. And his favorite artist was Maxi Priest, the reggae star.
Hmm.
And they asked Maxi's band if they could not smoke dope in the dressing room backstage, which I thought was hilarious at an event that had 5,000 civil rights lawyers at it. Surely somebody could have taken the case, and it's got to only be a ticket in D.C.
Now, let's go back to what people best know you as, besides a civil rights activist. You're probably best known to our audience from your work on Whose Line Is It Anyway? And you first appeared on the British version way back in 89. So, Greg, you were, like, way ahead of the curve because most Americans didn't know about improv until, well, I don't even know if they do now. How did you get involved with that show and improv?
Well, they came to San Francisco and auditioned, and that's where I was living at the time. The producer is something of a, if you'll pardon the expression, Yank-o-file.
Mm.
And he came out and auditioned, and I got on the show, and we did it in England for, oh my gosh, 10 years. And then we did it in America for 4 years, and it's been in constant reruns ever since then. I started on the show when I was 11.
You had a very big vocabulary for an 11-year-old.
I did. I was a prodigy.
The chemistry on the show is what I think is so incredible, especially you and Ryan Stiles. What is it about you guys that makes you work so well as a team, do you think?
I'm not a fan of Ryan's.
Sure.
I think he's a show-off.
Mm-hmm,
Him
selfish.
And Drew Carey have been dead full-on. Selfish. Is there a bigger word? Rovian? I think it's just that we get along and we like each other. Ryan and I are doing a show right now. In fact, we're going to Montreal with it called Unplanned. It's just the two of us on stage knocking it around for an hour. And
is it truly... Is it eponymous? Is it truly unplanned?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Whose Line wasn't planned? People ask me that all the time. You guys knew. And that's the tone of voice they use. You guys knew what you were going to say. Because everyone who asks me has a hair lip. And
they're curious people.
No, we knew what games we were going to play, and we knew where we were going to stand. And after that, we wrote everything. So,
And yes,
when I'm unplanned, we won't plan it.
Do you ever get nervous?
You mean like nervous? Like the Olsen twins at a Burger King, confused, perplexed.
Yes.
What happens now? Why am
yes.
I here? What,
yes.
what is this room? What is in this room? Not too much, especially with Ryan. I mean, it's like working with Babe Ruth. He just points at the stands and then just hits a long one. And everybody goes, ooh, ah. And so I get to be Ringo in the group I play with.
Now,
you know, they asked John Lennon, right? Was Ringo the best drummer in rock? And he said, no. He's not even the best drummer in the Beatles. And that's how I am in my improv group.
He really said that?
Yeah, it was a joke.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I think they were best friends, yeah.
I
didn't mean to stun you with it, Faith.
No,
I was hoping for humor.
I
really said that?
A, I didn't know he said that. And B, I honestly didn't know it was a joke. I was gonna say, no wonder those boys had so much tension. Sorry, no, go ahead, Greg.
It's true, too, though. That's what makes it funny.
Let's listen to some of your non-improvised material. This is a set from your guest appearance on Last Comic Standing in last fall. You're talking about the upcoming election.
I'm very excited and proud to be an American because we got an election coming up.
and we have a black man and a woman running for president. Some people are clapping, other people are like, but Greg, there's been 43 honest white guys in a row. Why not let the magic continue? Hillary Clinton is running for president. People completely panicked over it. A woman? What? We can't have a woman. She's got a uterus and a brain, and she uses them both.
I just fell in love with you right there.
Thank you, darling.
Sounds like you have a pretty low opinion of some Americans, of some voters.
Well, you know how it is. This whole election so far, we've had to hear all about racism and sexism, and I think it's honest. We're finally addressing it, and by having two viable candidates like this, it forces America to kind of do what we fought a civil war so we'd never have to do, which is face these facts.
What is your take on where things stand right now? What do you think is going to happen in this Democratic race?
Oh, I think it's totally exciting. I think it should go all the way to the convention. I'm so sick of people whining it should be over. This is democracy. In ancient Greece, that stalwart stanchion, inventor of democracy, they had slaves and women didn't get to vote. So we should all be real glad that we get a voice in this and that we get to argue till the very last minute. It's not like it's two awful candidates either. These are two people who could be president. So I think it's galvanizing. I think more people are signing up to vote than ever before. I think it's awesome. Plus, the whole thing about McCain being really popular right now, fantastic. You know, the media.
Why?
Because basically they're embedded with him, right? I mean, they follow him around. They say that he's a nice guy and stuff like that. If you've been following McCain the last few weeks, he said that Purim was Jews' Halloween. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but right around the end of October, they don't put on masks of David Ben-Gurion and Golda Meir and go door to door asking for halva. You know what I mean? He's got to get some of his facts straight at some point in the election. And then he would have flown to Katrina immediately and helped those people. But then, of course, it's been revealed he was cutting his cake with George W. Bush. It was his birthday. So he'll go anytime unless it's a special occasion or Cindy's having people over.
Now, when I think of your stand-up, like even now, I think of it as often reminding people of facts and addressing ignorance, like ignorance about race and politics and religion. Do you actively try to accomplish things with your comedy, or is this just naturally the way your mind works?
Well, being a comedian, of course, my main job is to bend public opinion to my will and then force the masses to subscribe to the heinous thoughts I've come up with while under the a dazzling variety of stimulants inebriation. No, I go out there to try to do what's funny, and this is what I think is funny. And it's also an exciting political time, so everybody wants to hear about it.
You voice Seymour the Fractal Cat. It's a cartoon
character.
Did you
know Seymour the Fractal Cat?
No.
It was a...
But that's such a provocative title. What's fractal about this cat?
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
It was a guy who falls asleep on his computer, and his alter ego is embodied in a fractal cat, a cat made of fractals, who follows him around for a week. It was a British radio show several years ago. It was abstruse. It was one of those. The English will sit and listen to radio shows,
God bless.
Dramas and comedies and things like that. When I lived there, I had a couple of comedy shows on the radio, and God bless indeed. They put the radio on while they're doing things. Like we do here in America, but they have something of, I think, more of an attention span because it's sort of bred into them.
You often say, I'm from San Francisco, but I'm not gay. And your website even states Mr. Proops is married to a woman. So I want to know what it is that makes you feel like you have to state your sexuality up front.
It's just a cheap laugh, basically. I have no problem with my sexuality, but as you know, when you go around the country and you say you're from San Francisco, there's one thing that comes right to mind for most people. And I'm proud that there's gay people there because it proves that we don't lynch people at our border. And also that, Barry Bonds was our hometown hero.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely my hero as well. I adore Barry Bonds, and I say right on.
Why do you adore him?
Oh, he was the best hitter I've ever seen play baseball. And Willie Mays was my hero as a child. That's how old I am. And I just think it's unfair what baseball's done to them. When the owners come through with a weird commission of their own choosing 5 years after the fact, using hearsay from guys who hung out in the clubhouse and impugn the two best players of a generation, it makes me question the owners. And perhaps they could have taken time out from their busy schedule of entertaining people in their luxury box to have a word with the players 5 years ago when they felt this was an issue.
Greg Proops, I had no idea that you were a sports fan.
Mostly baseball.
I'm going to give you a beat. Would you come back on our show and chime in on what's going on in baseball from Greg Proop's point of view?
You darn betcha I would, Faith. I'd be chuffed.
You are so English. I would love that. I would love that. I wouldn't whinge about it at all. How's that?
Yeah, right on. You wouldn't whinge. Well, just don't get stroppy when we talk. Let me ask you something. Do you support a particular baseball team?
Yeah, but
so I can't
say because of the city I live in. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Wow. It would cause riots. Greg Proops is a comedian and actor, and maybe our baseball correspondent. He tours the country and the world, and tonight is performing the Greg Proops Chat Show at Largo in L.A. For more information about him and his show, please visit our website, morefairgame.org.